Brother Juan is not here. I'm going to do it in English, okay? I'm going to do the Sunday school in English. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Is it on, Eric? Okay. Matthew 7, and we're going to read from verses 1 through verse 11. Okay? It says so. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom of his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Let's pray. And Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thy word is truth. Your Son said, O Lord, sanctify him in thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we pray, O Lord, you give us understanding this morning. Your Holy Spirit, Lord, guide us, teach us, enlighten our hearts and the pages that he inspired, O Lord, that we may receive this morning from you. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. So we're looking specifically this morning at verses 7 through 11. Again, what is the meaning? What is Jesus saying in verse 7 when he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now we considered this. Right, again, last time we considered I divided this into three sections. Number one, the teaching. The teaching itself. The promise, which we find again in verses number 8. He says, "Everyone that asketh, receiveth." Here is the teaching, verse 7. Here is the promise, verse number 8. "Everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." But then we looked at the illustration, or if you will, the analogy, the comparison. Which again, remember Jesus, the Lord Jesus has been using arguments from the lesser to the greater. And that's the reason I wanted to read part of the sermon before that. What do I mean? Well, before that, remember when he compared the birds of the field. Remember that? He said, God feeds the birds of the field. God takes care of the lilies of the valley. Remember that? We read that. We studied that. But then he argued from that to a greater. That is, shall he not provide for you, O of little faith? What is Jesus doing? He's saying, man is of much greater value than birds, than flowers of the field, which today are, and tomorrow they're cut down and cast into the oven. Man is greater than that. So he uses an argument from the lesser to the greater. And no doubt, God will provide for us. God will take care of us. So we need not be anxious about tomorrow. We need not be anxious, become over anxious about provision. God will provide for us. Now, Jesus has been teaching, and remember, when it comes to this verse, we cannot lift it out of context. That was what we studied last time. We can't say, again, this is a check blank to anything and everything that I ask. It's not that. Again, we got to consider not only the immediate context of this passage, but what the rest of the Scripture teaches. Right? We got to consider the whole. Again, they're not difficult to understand. If we read it, and that's why I love the way the Lord Jesus teaches. He uses simple language, but he also uses good reasons. Simplicity and reason. What do you mean, Brother Joe? He argues again, listen again, listen at verse 7. What could be simpler than ask, seek, and knock? There's no simpler language than that. There's no simpler. What I ask for, I will receive. What I seek for, I shall find. And when I knock, it shall be opened. It doesn't get simpler than that. But then he also uses, again, the same argument. From the lesser, in this case, there is a greater disparity. A much greater difference, infinite difference. He uses the example of who? Verse 9 through 11. He says, and he appeals to reason. Reason. What reason is that? He says, of what man is there of you, if his son shall ask bread, will he give him a stone? He's reasoning with us. The obvious answer is no. That's the obvious answer. Secondly, listen what he says. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? The obvious answer is no. But then notice again the comparison. Notice again the vast difference. Now we're not talking about lilies and men. We're talking about God and men. Notice verse number 11. If ye then, being evil, and we can't surpass that. We can't go past that point this morning. The worst evil men, the most evil men still cherish their own children. They love their children. The most hardened individual, beloved, still has some care for their children. And now, listen, in verse 11, he's not addressing hardened, perhaps cruel men, but he's addressing their own disciples. He says, if ye then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. You see that? Notice again, how much more. Did you remember how we looked at that phrase before? How much more? How much more? I can't overemphasize that this morning. So again, let's go back. What is Jesus teaching us? Verses 7 through 11. What is the context of this, of these verses? Again, it's not the idea of demanding. It's not the idea of vain repetition. That's not what Jesus is teaching. That's not what he's teaching. Again, it's not a check blank for anything or everything we ask. Again, remember the context. He has been teaching about the righteousness which exceeds, surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That was the whole that was the primary focus of this Sermon on the Mount. That righteousness, that outward. You and I can perhaps, after reading part of this Sermon on the Mount, say like the disciples, Lord, then who can be saved? If what he demands on this Sermon on the Mount is far, far much greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember, these guys, the scribes and the Pharisees, they appeared to be righteous. They did the right things. They did their prayers. They did their giving. They did everything that appeared to be right. Yet they lacked the most important thing. And I think that's what Jesus is bringing us here. And we must remember this also, that in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus brings out to us, beloved, like nobody else has and nobody else does, that God is our Father. God is our Father. But the question that needs to be questioned or asked is, how did He become our Father? How did He become our Father? He's not the Father of all. He's the Creator. And in some instances, you will read that in a sense, in this sense, in the creation, He is the Father. But that does not mean that everyone is the Son of God. How did He become our Father? And what does that mean? You know, a lot of our anxieties, a lot of our troubles would vanish away if we realized what Jesus is teaching us here. They would vanish away. Knowing that God is our Father. But how does He become our Father? And what is Jesus teaching us here in this Sermon on the Mount? What is He teaching us? Is He teaching us to ask for anything? To seek for anything? Again, these verses, again, let me teach you what, let me say what they mean, what they teach. Verse 7. They imply a need. When someone asks, when someone seeks, and when someone knocks, it's because there is a need. There is a need. Now, the word ask, seek, and knock, it's in the imperative. Imperative. He's telling us we must need to do this. We must need to do this. It's a command. And it's not a once. I asked once. I sought once. I knocked once. That is not what it's teaching. The teaching, as it is ask and keep on asking and asking and asking. You seek and keep on seeking and seeking and seeking. You knock and you knock and you knock until it is opened. A consistent, persistent prayer. Importune prayer. Consistent, persistent, and importune prayer. But I love what he says. That prayer is answered. I like that. Because he says this little phrase, verse number 7, it shall. Now, what is Jesus teaching us here? What are we asking for? Again, when you realize the difficulty and how difficult it is to live a Christian life, and what He is asking us to do here. I mean, who has not judged incorrectly? Who has not pointed out the brother's mote and have a beam in their own eye? Who hasn't judged someone wrongfully? Who hasn't discerned well between dogs and between swine? Who hasn't, again, who hasn't prayed perhaps as a hypocrite? This is searching. This Sermon on the Mount is very searching. And how is it, how can we live a Christian life? Well, to begin with, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. Again, beloved, I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't teach us that we should ask for temporal necessities. Needs. He's not saying don't ask for these things. On the contrary, we should ask for these things. He taught us in the previous prayer, right? Our Father, He taught us. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Keep us from evil this day. He taught us the needs, daily needs, right? So then what is He teaching in these verses? Are you ever anxious? You ever become over anxious? Has anxiety taken over you? Why? Why are you so anxious? Tell me. Why are you so anxious? Why are you so overwhelmed? Have you got a reason? Why are you overburdened? I'm not making light of it. I'm not saying it's not real this morning. I'm not saying it's not real. Okay? But Jesus has promised us so many things. The Word of God is full of promises for us. You know that? Full of promises. Full of promises. And the first one, beloved, the first one is this. God is our Father. And that from there stems everything else. God is our Father. Have you realized that God is our Father? Has that reality filled your heart? What do you mean, Brother Joe? Well, number one, God never makes mistakes in giving us what we need. You know that? God never makes mistakes. I love the reasoning. Look at it. Look at it. Would you make a mistake, Paul? I'm going to pick up Brother Paul this morning. If your son would ask you for bread, will you give him a stone instead? The answer is no. No. He wouldn't carelessly do it. Neither does God. Much less God. Much less God. God never makes mistakes in giving us what we need. And now what went with the bread? A fish. This is a fisherman country, right? You have a piece of bread. Remember when the Lord Jesus, when He was resurrected or He rose from the dead, remember, what did He eat? He ate broiled fish and a piece of bread. They went hand in hand. So if your son asks, can I have something to put on this bread? Can I have fish to put on this bread? Will you give him a snake instead? Will you mistakenly give him a serpent? The answer is no. Neither does God. That's what He says. Look, verse number 11. He says, if ye then, and I have to say this before I go on, if ye then, being evil, He excludes Himself. Jesus excludes Himself from being evil. Jesus is not evil. Jesus is perfect. Jesus is the Son of God. But here, again, notice, He brings out our depravity. I still have depravity in my heart, and so do you. Don't ever say, I'll never do that. Don't ever say in your heart, I'll never do that again. Don't ever say in your heart, I will never do what that person did. Because you're deceiving yourself and you're lying. You're lying unto yourself, you're lying unto God. Jesus brings out this point. Verse 11. If ye then being evil, if you still have evil in your heart, which I do, I wish I didn't, but I do, and so do you. You still can give good gifts unto your children. Do you still give good gifts unto your children? The answer is yes. But notice what He says, verse 11. He says, how much more? Now, it is not God give you, but it's how much more shall whom your it's your Father. And here is the argument from the lesser to the greater. God is infinitely better than us, infinitely beloved, full of goodness, and there is no evil in God. It's a great chasm. Now, Jesus teaches us about prayer in this manner. In this, you'll find interweaved in His teachings the subject of prayer. Along with this passage, which we'll look at if we have time this morning, He gives us the example of the widow and the unjust judge. Her persistency. She was persistent. So Jesus is teaching us to be persistent.
don't give up. If the answer of the judge won't hear you, go again. And say the same thing. Avenge me over my adversaries. And if that unjust judge, he is unjust. He won't reason with righteousness. If that unjust judge hears this widow, much more God who is righteous, hear your righteous petitions. Secondly, he gives us the teaching of the publican and the Pharisee. Thirdly, the importune friend. The friend that comes to you at midnight. And what does he ask? What does this friend ask for? Bread. He said, I have some friends that come over this evening and I need some bread. I don't have bread to give them, but you have bread and I'm going to go over to your house and I'm going to knock on your door and you're going to get up and you're going to give me bread. Why? Not because you're my friend. Because you were importune. You came at the wrong time. You love it? What teachings does the Lord Jesus teach us, right? What tremendous teachings. And here we have the example of the Father and the Son. He says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Jesus is teaching us, beloved, we're the children of God. We're the children of God. How do you become a child of God? How do you become a child of God? How do you become a son of God? Regeneration. Regeneration. He said, how much more shall your Father give, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Now the question is, what is that good thing or good things? Things that accompany salvation. Now what is the promise? Before I jump too far, what is this promise? Well, the promise, again, is stated in verse number 8. Everyone. Everyone. See that? Everyone. It's not far from thee, says in one place Paul. It's not far from thee. That is the word of faith that we preach. It's not far from thee. It's even in thy mouth. It's near thee. That if you would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's not difficult. It's not far above. It's not down beneath. But it's near thee. Everyone. That's the same promise right here. The difficulty is not your understanding this morning. It's simple, right? The message is simple. Ask, seek, and knock. Do you truly desire eternal life? Do you want to be a son of God? It's not difficult. It's not far from you. It's near. Everyone that asks, receive it. You go ask anyone that has become a son of God. Did you ask? Yes. Did you receive? Yes, I did. I received it by grace. Everyone. I thank God for that. Not only does He teach us that everyone can ask, and everyone that has asked has received, but the certainty that if we ask, seek, and knock, we shall receive, find, and it shall be open. What an encouragement for us to seek the Father who made such promises. I like what the songwriter wrote. He says, what needless care we often bear. We have it upon our shoulders. We have it upon our hearts. Sometimes we have frustrations. We have uncertainties. Do you have uncertainties? Sure you do. Sure you have uncertainties. Because you don't even know. You don't even know what your life is. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring. But I'm glad God does know. I'm glad God is in control. I'm glad that I can count on Him as my Father. He's not going to give me bad gifts. He's not going to give me something evil. He's a good Father. You realize the the deepness of that thought, you realize what he's saying here, what Jesus is teaching. That's why no one brought out the Father as Jesus did. That's what he said. He says, this is life eternal. They may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Are you discouraged? Are you discouraged because of troubles? Are you discouraged because of uncertainties? Are you discouraged because of troubles? Are you discouraged? Are you ready to give up? Are you discouraged because you're faithless? Are you discouraged because you're just going through the motions? Are you discouraged because you wonder why? Why am I just going through the motions? Why is it that I'm faithless? Why is it that I do what I do? You realize that the mere shows of the flesh and outwards prayers, they're not what God requires. It's not what God wants. God doesn't want the outward. God doesn't want just the externals. And that's what Jesus is teaching. And let me say this. A Christian is not pleased and cannot be pleased with what the world offers. There's no substitute. Let me tell you, there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit of God. There isn't. There can't be. There can't be. The Spirit of God gives you joy, peace, faith, love. That's the fruit, Galatians. Go read it. And there's substitutes. Just like there is substitutes for the real thing. There's real sugar and then there's substitutes. They're not the real thing. They try to copy. They try to duplicate what is given to us by the Spirit of God. And beloved, if you've been deceived into thinking that this part or this thing of the world can bring you happiness, it's a lie. It's a lie. It can't. You have a soul, and that soul, beloved, was made by God. And that soul requires and wants fellowship with God. This birth that we have is supernatural. It's from above. And that's why our desire is heavenward. These are weighty matters that the Lord is teaching us. Now, we're not just children of God by creation. Let me say this. We're not children of God by creation. See, if that was just the thought here, that everyone is a son of God by creation, then what hope have we? Because He reveals in another place, beloved, that all of us will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. All of us have to give an account. And if we're just children by creation, if we're not redeemed by His precious blood, then what hope have we? But He's teaching here that we're children because of regeneration. Now, says John in one place, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? Have you considered this reality and privilege? It's not doctrinal. See, that's what I want you to understand this morning. It is doctrinal. It is doctrinal. But it's not just merely doctrinal. It's a spiritual reality. You see, for instance, I'm going to use this example again. Eric has two sons. He could say, in a doctrinal way, I'm your dad. Okay, he's my dad. But it doesn't reveal the true heart. It doesn't reveal the true heart there. It's like saying, God is our Father. He has given us His Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The whole world can cry, Abba, Father. Just those that are whom? The children of God. It's a spiritual reality. Well, how does that happen? Spirit of God. the Spirit of God that He's made to dwell in us.
That's why, listen, I want to read out of another portion of Scripture. And I'm not going to finish this morning, this thought, but what a beautiful reality Jesus is teaching us here. What a beautiful reality. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice what he says. Notice what he says in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, in whom ye also trusted. Ephesians 1:13. In whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
He's given us a Spirit. He's given us His Holy Spirit to dwell in us.
So prayer is not a duty, is not a requirement. What Jesus is saying, it's a privilege. It's access into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. You know, you realize Jesus often prayed also. You know how many times He went and prayed alone with the disciples? And when they asked Him to teach about prayer, He does. And He uses everyday examples. He uses that widow that we spoke about, the unjust judge, the publican, the Pharisee, the importune friend, and here we have the Father and the Son. Let's consider this illustration. We are infinitely lesser than our Father which is in heaven. You know that? If ye then, he says, verse 11, being evil, and you know how to give good gifts unto your children. There's a great difference between our nature and God's nature. You know, there's a big difference. We are the sons of God. We have been begotten. We have His Holy Spirit. We have become the sons of God. Again, like John says, to them that believe, He gave authority or the power to become the sons of God. Thank God for that. There's still remnants. There's still remnants of that fall in my heart and in your heart. There's still remnants. But even then, just think about it, beloved. Think, you put yourself in this picture right here. Do you know how to give good gifts unto your children? The answer is going to be yes. You pick the best. You pick the best. And I can think of stories, you know, again, when I was growing up, you know, my relationship to my granddad, you know, my granddad was very poor. And I would just ask, you know, Grandpa, you know, can you give me... And I see, when you're children, you don't realize. I guess you don't realize when you're children that you're really poor. There's a knowledge, but there isn't that knowledge. You know, my grandpa was very poor. And, you know, he would have, you know, back then it was a peso, you know, 20 cents, 50 cents. And I said, Grandpa, can I have a, you know, to buy a soda? And he would pull out and give it to me. Do you do that? You give to your children? Sure you do. It's your nature. It's your nature. And I don't. And you know, you see, you heard stories. The most evil men. And this is verse 11. He's talking about those that have been redeemed, right? If ye then being evil, the disciples right before him. But even the worst of men. The most evil men cherish their children. And they give them good gifts. Shall not much more our Heavenly Father, beloved? So let me say seven things and let's close. Seven things concerning Matthew 7. and this verse 9 through 11. Number one, there's a great difference between our nature and the Father. There's a great difference. Secondly, he clearly said that all men are evil, but does not include himself. You see that? Thirdly, the Father gives and is willing to bestow good and perfect gifts. Again, the Father gives and is willing to bestow good and perfect gifts. Fourthly, the Father never makes mistakes in giving us what we need. Remember that. The Father never makes mistakes in giving us what we need. Fifthly, the most evil men favor their children. The most evil men favor their children. Sixthly, the Father has given us all things that pertain to life. The Father has given us all things that pertain to life. And seventh, and lastly, that good and perfect gift that he's speaking about in verse 11 is his Holy Spirit. If you ask for his Holy Spirit, he will give you his Holy Spirit. You know that? He will. You desire new life? Are you burdened because of all that has come into your life? You know, that was David's cry when he sinned against God. He says, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." God is willing. God is willing. So we'll continue this next week, okay? All right, Lord bless you. Let's take a break.